Well, Sunday is my favorite day of the week, and I hope that it's one of your favorite days of the week. It's the day that we regularly gather together as church family, as friends, and just we sing, and we look at God's Word that we believe and we know we've experienced to be His truth that is living and active in this world today, just as it was 2,000 plus years ago. It's one of my favorite days. It is my favorite day of the week. And I'm so glad that you could be with us this morning. Well, as most of you know, as many of you know, this past week was back to school for most of our students in the Calgary area. And anybody here that's out of school, remember what it was like in that first couple days of class? You remember what it was like? I don't know if your experience was like mine, but you know, not only were you like, man, summer holidays are over. What a drag. School has started again. You get to see your friends regularly, but I was always nervous on that first day of class because you didn't know whose home room you were going to be in. You didn't know if you were going to have class with some of your friends. You didn't know if it was going to be new people. And especially for me, it was junior high and high school. I just remember being anxious about those first few days of school. And you know, it really warms my heart to sing a song like we just sang. I love that song. It's one of my favorite songs that we sing here at Southwinds. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I know where my identity is. I belong to Him. He is everywhere. He is always with me, so I don't have to be afraid. Now, I still get afraid. There's still things that make me anxious in this world. But as I think about our kids going back to school, and as I think about the song that we just sang, man, our kids right now, they're in classes learning about the God of the universe, learning about this one who is always with them, who wants to know them and love them, who gave His Son for them. That they don't have to be afraid anymore. You know, if you have children, or maybe you remember when you were a child and you had a bad dream and you would wake up, and you don't just have a bad dream when you're a kid and wake up and then think, oh, it was just a bad dream and go back to sleep. That's at least not what happens at our house when our kids have a bad dream. What do our kids do when they have a bad dream? They wake up screaming and they're yelling most of the time for mommy, which doesn't break daddy's heart. But they yell for mom, right? Because they want somebody to come in and give them security, to comfort them. You know, what do we always say? You know, shh, shh, it's okay, it's okay. It was just a bad dream. There's no monster. There's nothing here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm here, right? We say, I'm here. You're okay. You're in your room. Everything's fine. And we try to soothe their fears, right? We try to help calm them down. We calm them down and get them back to sleep. And oftentimes, we'll just pray. And our kids want us to pray. We'll say, God, would you just please help Theron to have good dreams? God, would you please help Lenny just to trust you and know that you're here? Because we know that He is there. Well, we're talking about, we're going to talk a little bit about stay in school. Stay in school. Now, I don't know what school was like for you. Again, I said before, I don't know if when you started the semester, if it was always filled with anxiety for you like it was for me. I don't know if you were the type of person that was just like, oh man, I can't believe school's over. I wish I could go back to school. Or if you're the type of person that said, hallelujah, school's over. I don't ever have to go back to that place again. But when we talk about staying in school, we want to talk about always being much more than a student of God's Word, much more than being a student of who God is, but always being a student of knowing Him. Proverbs 22:6. Could you guys bring that first scripture up on the screen? Proverbs 22:6 says, teach a youth about the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you know, sometimes translators substitute that word youth. They say child. Teach a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. And we think about back to school, we think about educating our children, giving them the basic skills that they need, teaching them to read, to write, to do math, teaching them about science, teaching them about history so that their generation hopefully doesn't repeat what other generations have done. That we want to make sure our children are educated well, whether we send them to school or whether we do that right in our own home. that we know of the importance of the education of children, and I want to submit that, you know, we have a class for your children here at Southwinds, whether that meets before Sunday worship, whether that meets during Sunday worship, whether that meets midweek with Kinsey in the youth, grade 7 to 12, that we want to help educate and equip your children for going into this world armed with faith. But, you know, we only get 1 hour a week. That's all we get. And I say we because a lot of people in this room are involved in our children's ministry. You're helping teach those classes. You're helping share those Bible stories with those kids. You're bringing Play-Doh to church to keep them entertained. Right, Jen? Right? Making it a creative experience. We do the best we can. And you, we all have the awesome responsibility of training up our children in the way they should go so that when they're older, they won't depart from it. Well, I want to encourage us today that it's not just for the kids, that it's for us too. That no matter how old we are, no matter if we're single, no matter if we're married and we don't have children, no matter if we have 10 kids, no matter if we're grandparents, doesn't matter who we are or what stage of life we're in, that it's always the right time for us to be in God's Word, experiencing His truth, and let it sink deep into our heart. That it's not only about training up children in the way they should go. Yes, that's true. That's a wise thing to do. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. It's for us too. We're going to spend the bulk of our time this morning in 1 Timothy. Now, that's a book in what's called the New Testament. And the New Testament is that time when God sent His Son Jesus into the world, and it's the account of His life and His death and resurrection and then ascension back to heaven and letters that were written after His time here on earth. That's what we call the New Testament. It's towards the latter half of your Bible, so if you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn there. If you don't have a Bible, you can follow on the screen or in your phone or on your iPad, whatever you might have. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this was a letter that was written, and it was to encourage, and it was to train, actually. And Timothy is a young guy. He's a young guy, new in the ministry. He's been trained up by some family members. They've taught him about God. They've taught him the Scriptures. They've taught him the way that he should go so that when he was older, he would not depart from it. And there's a guy named Paul who's taken Timothy under his wing, and he's given him some instruction here. And this instruction is not just good for Timothy, but it's good for us too. Because you see, in the time that Timothy is stepping into what we would call the ministry or helping lead churches or a church, that in that time, there were some kind of crazy things going around in culture. Crazy things happening in their culture and some things that people were getting mixed up with what was truth and what wasn't truth. Can anybody relate to that today? I can relate to that today. You don't have to look at the news very much to think there's some crazy stuff going on in our culture. There's some crazy stuff going on in the world right now. And man, it feels like the lines of truth seem to be blurred every which way we turn. And so where do we go for truth? Well, we go to God's Word for truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And you know, I'm just going to read a chunk of verses here if you'll follow along with me and then just hang with me for a little bit because we're going to walk through them, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons through the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared. They forbid marriage and demand abstinence from foods that God created to be received with gratitude by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing should be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, since it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. But have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness, for the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. In fact, we labor and strive for this because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of everyone, especially of those who believe. Paul says to Timothy, command and teach these things. No one should despise your youth. Instead, you should be an example to the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 12. Man, there is a lot in that passage, and we're just going to walk through a little bit of it, okay? We're not going to go word by word here, but I want to hit some highlights throughout this passage. So 1 Timothy chapter 4. You see, Paul is writing a letter to Timothy saying, you know, truth is getting mixed up with people. There are those that have hardened their heart against God. He says their consciences have been seared. Okay? Their consciences have been seared. He said they have heard God's word and they've heard his truth, but they've refused to bend to obedience. They've refused to obey, so they've been seared. They've been kind of numbed to what truth really is, and then they've fallen away from truth, and they've done some things. They're teaching some things that God's word doesn't say, that the good news of Jesus doesn't say. And they're leading people astray. And he's saying, Timothy, it is so important that you don't follow after these guys. And not only am I saying don't follow after these guys, but I am telling you, choose a different path. Don't just choose not to do that. Don't just choose to say, well, I know that's not quite right, so I'm not going to go there. I want you to actively pursue truth. I want you to actively pursue the way that you know is good. He says, you know, some of these guys are going around and saying, well, you know, God doesn't really want anybody to get married. He doesn't want anybody to get married. God wants you to refrain from eating certain foods. And lots of scholars believe that they were talking about meat because there was a time when God created the world that he didn't introduce the eating of meat for a little while, okay? But then he allowed it. He said, these things are good for food. These guys are saying, you shouldn't get married because, you know, that means pleasure and you shouldn't experience pleasure. You shouldn't eat these types of foods because, well, God just doesn't like that. And they were unfounded, actually. When God is the one that created the relationship of marriage, he created the bond, the covenant of marriage. And he uses it as an illustration of his relationship with us, as a matter of fact. So these are just a couple examples that he's given of how these guys that are teaching false things, when he says that you're going to follow the teachings of demons, he's saying that these guys have been led astray by the enemy. And they have listened to what the enemy has to say, and now they're teaching it to other people. He says, don't fall into what these guys are teaching. You don't let others fall into it either. He says, everything created by God is good, and nothing should be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. You know, and one commentator that I read, and commentators are just guys that spend their life studying and developing and translating what the Word of God is and trying to help us all understand a little bit better about what the Word of God means or what did it originally mean in that text. And one of the translators talks about, he likens it to, when you sit down to eat food as a follower of Christ, what's generally done before we start eating? What do we do? We say grace, right? We pray. And we thank God for the food because we believe that everything we have comes from him, that it is good, right? And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, God said that he looked at all that he created and he said it was good. We thank God because everything good comes from him. And it says, since it is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer, and the word of God has told us that these things are permissible, that God himself has told us these things are permissible. So why would we follow in this teaching? Why would we do this? All right, verse 6. He says, if you point these things out to the brothers, that is those that follow Jesus, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with the irreverent and silly myths. You ever heard of, oh, that's just an old wives' tale? Right? You know, like, you know, one of them, and I don't know if there's any fact to this or not, but they say for pregnant ladies, if those pregnant ladies have really bad heartburn during the pregnancy, anybody heard this one? That baby's going to have lots of hair. That's right. Now, Rachel's had really bad heartburn. Our babies have really long, dark hair when they're born. Don't know if there's any truth or not, but it's an old wives' tale like that. He says, don't buy into those things because they're empty. Don't buy into that stuff. Having nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths, rather, train yourself in godliness. Now, here's the crux of the passage. Train yourself in godliness. And then he goes on, he quotes actually from the Old Testament. He says, the training of the body has a limited benefit. In this training of the body, he's actually referencing exercise. He is referencing, you know, if you want to get in better shape, then you get up and you start, you go for walks, you go for runs, you go swimming. And if you train at it, if you're disciplined at it, and you, maybe you watch your diet a little bit and you eat more fruits and vegetables versus, you know, Dairy Queen, okay? If you train at it, then you should start to see some results in your physical body. You should start to feel better. You should start to look better. You following me? He says, training your body is good, but that benefit is short-lived. We're all going to get to the point where we can't do that anymore. Not quite like we used to. Anyway, he said, it's temporal, if you want a word. It's for limited benefit. It benefits your body. It does help you feel better. It's a good thing to do. And let me give you something that's even better. Let me give you something that's going to have eternal significance for you and for the people around you. He says, the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, godliness. What is this training in godliness? So, I need to memorize the whole Bible. That's training in godliness if I've ever seen it. Well, that's a great endeavor. Okay? Be a wonderful thing. It's not just trying to train our minds to memorize what maybe God's word says, or memorize all the attributes of God. If I could list the attributes of God, I could list them all. Training in godliness. Godliness is actually when our knowledge of God, what we know about God, and who we know God to be, meets with the outward revelation of that truth in our actions. What we know about God and what we know to be true about God actually impacts the life that we live. That's godliness. That the God that I know affects the decisions that I make. The God that I know affects the way I live my life. The God that I know affects the way that I raise my children. The God that I know affects the way I live and act at work. This is godliness. That is not just knowing about God, but it's knowing God and that having an effect on the life that you and I lead. That's godliness. Godliness is beneficial in every way since it holds promise for the present life and for the life to come. He's like, man, you can be in great shape. And hear me, South Winds. Paul is not saying, forget about your physical well-being. Just be godly. He's not saying that, okay? He's saying, yeah, it's good. It's a good thing. Train. Be physically healthy. And don't forget what's even more important than that, more beneficial than that, things that are going to have relevance for you today and it's going to impact eternity. It's godliness. The God that I know impacting the life that I lead. This is godliness. He says, this saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. In fact, we labor and strive for this because we have put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of everyone, especially of those who believe. Man, we've put our hope in this God. If we've really put our hope in Him, then why wouldn't it impact the life that I lead? Why wouldn't it change the life that I lead? Why wouldn't that be true? If I've really placed my hope in Him, if this is what we really strive for, you know, let me share with you a story. This is a story about Dr. Ben Carson. You may be familiar with that name. He was a presidential candidate not long ago. He was vying to be a presidential candidate not long ago But here's a story about Dr. Ben Carson. He's a renowned surgeon at Johns Hopkins Hospital down in the United States, and he tells a moving story about his mother, who every couple of weeks made him and his brother write a book report. They had to read a book and write a book report. And this wasn't for school, this was for her. So they had their schoolwork, and then they had their mom's essays that they had to write. So about the time he was in junior high, Ben finally realized something that was quite shocking to him. You see, this woman that had made them write all these book reports every 2 weeks, she was actually illiterate. She couldn't read herself. He had grown up in elementary reading what little books he could read, writing those book reports, and then maybe an early teenager into junior high, middle school. He keeps writing book reports, and the realization hits him, my mom can't even read. You see, he had grown up, he and his brother, thinking, man, we got to do these essays, these book reports well, because mom's going to go over every single word. She couldn't read the reports that they were writing. You know, she didn't have a clue what Ben and his brother were saying in those reports. Now consider this. Raised by an illiterate mother, Ben grew up to be a world-famous surgeon who was featured in many articles and was the author of several books. His illiterate mom didn't twist her hands over her lack of learning and give up hope of raising intelligent boys. Instead, she gave her boys what she had. She had interest, she had accountability, she had the courage to demand extra work. And it paid off. Years later, somebody asked Dr. Carson, now, Dr. Carson, why does your mom still live with you today? And his response was, no, you don't understand. If it weren't for this woman, I would never be living here. He said, she's earned this. Because now, I think as a successful surgeon, he probably doesn't live maybe in the smallest house in the community. I don't know what he lives in, but he said, this woman has earned this. So Southwinds, why don't we share that story on a day that we're talking about, man, training in godliness? That we're talking about knowing the one true living God, and He's given us His truth that is His Word, the Bible. He wants us to know Him through His Word. He wants the truth to be living and active in us. And we're talking about training the youth up, the children up, in the way they should go so that when they're older, they don't depart from it. Sometimes I think we can shy away. If you have kids here, or maybe if you've thought about, well, man, maybe I could help out in the children's class at Southwinds Church. But I don't know that much. I don't know if I could do it. Boy, I hope we take a note from Dr. Carson's mother that we don't have to know it all, but we got to give what we got. We've got to work with what we start with. And then we can learn alongside the children as well. We can learn the stories. We can learn what these things mean about God together with them. And it's not just about maybe those of us that are intimidated or afraid by thinking about teaching others about God. But boy, I'm intimidated when I look at this book and I think about all the pages and all the words and all the books, all the chapters. I'm intimidated. I don't know what that stuff means. Maybe one day I said, well, I'm going to read. And so I just opened up, and you opened up maybe to a book like Numbers, or maybe you opened up to a different book that just didn't make a lot of sense to you. Well, I want to encourage you. If you've never really made it a practice to read God's Word yet, I want to encourage you, maybe start with a book called John. It's a great book. It talks about the life of Jesus. It talks about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Maybe a book called Matthew, too. That would be a great place for you to start. But I don't want us to be intimidated. I don't want us to be like Dr. Carson's mom, the story said, she didn't wring her hands over what she couldn't do. She knew what she had to give. So you say, well, maybe I'm not the world's leading Bible scholar. But you know what? I believe God does want to speak to me through His Word. And so what I can do is I can make time. And I can start to read. And I can trust God that He's going to teach me. Because Southwinds, we do want to follow the wisdom and the truth that Paul gives us in 1 Timothy, that we want to train in godliness. And we want to stay engaged in His truth so that when things come that may be close to the truth but aren't truth, we can recognize those things. And maybe we can even help steer other towards what is the truth. Maybe we can help those that are anxious about whether it's starting school, starting a new job, maybe they've been off for a while, they're coming back, I don't know what it is. Maybe we can help them and encourage them and give them courage. Let me share with you another story. This is a story about the power of positive words. He was always in trouble at school, so when the parents of the junior high boy received one more call to come in and meet with his teacher and the principal, they knew exactly what was coming, or so they thought. They sat down with the teacher and the principal, and here's what they said. "Thanks for coming. I wanted you to hear what I have to say." Oh. The father crossed his arms and waited, thinking what defense he could use this time. The teacher proceeded to go down a list of 10 things, 10 positive affirmations of the junior high troublemaker. And when she finished, the father said, "And what else? Like, the other shoe's about to drop, so just hit me with it." "That's all I wanted to say," she said. That night, when the father got home, he repeated the conversation to his son. And not surprisingly, almost overnight, the troublemaker's attitude and behavior changed dramatically, all because the teacher looked past the negatives. And can I just make a note that this story was about the pastor's kid, the troublemaker. So you guys pray for the pastor's kids that they won't be troublemakers, okay? And beyond that, like, sometimes we get intimidated when we think about, one, us training in godliness and righteousness and trying to help train up others. We get intimidated. But you know, we overlook some of the basic things. That some of the things that God has shown us, who the people are that we love most in this life, some things that He shows us, we just relay that to them. We can encourage them. We can encourage them to keep going. We can encourage them to say, you know, even when, I don't know about your kids, my kids never get on my last nerve. Every day. Twice a day. No, they just know what buttons to push. In those moments, you know, can we say, at the bare minimum, I love you. Sometimes, when we talk about positive words, that they don't need to be empty. But we don't have to be intimidated by this thing that we're talking about, this staying in school. And remember, not just learning about God, but letting that impact, asking God to help it impact the life that I lead, the God that I know, impacting the person I am, the person that I'm becoming. You know, we really believe here at Southwinds in training in godliness. We've referenced already these classes that we have for children here at Southwinds as part of our church family, during the service, before service, on Wednesday evenings with our grades 7 to 12. And we also have life groups that Kinsey's going to talk to you about here in a little bit. And life groups are small groups of people getting to know Jesus and each other better by praying together, exploring God's Word together, and doing life together. But we've also made an investment. Now, Southwinds, you are faithful to give towards the work of God and towards the furtherment of His kingdom through this church family. And that comes in the form of prayer, in the form of service, in the form of time given, and also in the form of financially sacrificing and giving towards this church family. And we do our very best to be good stewards of every penny that comes in here. And so we've made an investment. And again, it's not a super duper expensive investment, but I believe it could be a great investment for you and for your family and for those around you. And it's called Right Now Media. Now, oh man, I totally forgot something. Anyway, we'll go to Right Now Media first, and then I'll go back to Gabe. Can you bring up that second picture, this guy right there? Right Now Media. This is a screenshot of what Right Now Media would look like. When you log in, you're going to get an email today. You should get an email today that's inviting you to subscribe to Right Now Media. Now, Right Now Media, a great way to explain Right Now Media. Anybody familiar with Netflix? Anybody? Maybe a couple people? Right Now Media is the Netflix for Christians, okay? It's the Netflix for followers of Jesus. There are all kinds of Bible studies, teaching. There's all kinds of kids' shows that are biblically based that not only teach your kids good morals or good lessons, but they teach them Scripture. They teach them about God's Word. You could go through and find a show that you really like and then watch it with your kids. And guess what you're doing? You're training your kids in godliness. You could go through and find something that you would say, man, I've always wondered, what does this book of the Bible talk about? And they have world-renowned teachers in here that go through chapter by chapter and talk about. Then you could go and you could train in godliness. Our life group leaders, we're encouraging them, hey, you can go through here and find something, and you can go walk through this together as a life group. There's all kinds of good stuff here, guys. You know, the appetite of the mind is an interesting thing. And I don't know about you, but I can really spend some time in front of the TV if I let myself. I can really do that. I just enjoy, at the end of a long day, sitting down and just watching something. But boy, I don't know about you, it is tough sometimes to find something that is worth watching, that I don't want to fill my mind with stuff that doesn't honor God. And so this would be a great thing to do at the end of a day. A great thing to watch, a great thing to do with your kids before they go to bed. Whenever you choose to do it, however you choose to do it, there's stuff for youth, there's stuff for toddlers, all kinds of stuff, stuff for us as adults. But you'll be able to log in and it'll be free to you. Now, some of those studies, if you want to get extra material, some of those things are for purchase, but you have all the videos, you have all the access to all those things because you're part of Southwinds Church. And we want you to know that we want to invest in you, that we love you, that we believe in training in godliness because we believe in the impact that God wants to have through you and in you. And so that is a gift from Southwinds Church to you. And partly we want to say thank you for giving to God's kingdom work. Now, if you think that, wow, do they have my email address? I don't know. If you haven't gotten an email from us lately, it may mean that either we don't have it or maybe it's copied down wrong. So if you haven't gotten an email from us lately, Kinsey's going to reference some contact cards here in a minute. You go pick up one of those contact cards right over on that table and you give us your name and email address, okay? Because we want you to have access to this. This could be really, really, really great for you. And if you have a family, for your family, okay? So that really is our takeaway this week, is to look at your email, subscribe to Right Now Media, and just start looking through it. How much time have I wasted looking through Netflix trying to find something to watch? I would be embarrassed to admit, okay? So maybe instead of logging into Netflix, log into Right Now Media for a change. Okay? I'm not going to tell you what to do with your Netflix account, okay? We're keeping ours, just so you know. Okay? But take some time. Peruse Right Now Media. Okay? And then we're going to talk to you later on in weeks ahead about, man, give us feedback on what you're seeing because we want to make it to where we can share that with each other and stuff that we found that's really good that we really like so that we can all kind of help each other out. Sound good? Good. Sounds good to me. So, we want to be sure, Southwinds, that we are staying in school, that we're always learning about this God who created us, who loves us, who has a purpose for us, this God that wants to make a difference in the world that he created, and he wants to do it through his children. So let's train in godliness. Our worship team is going to come and lead in one last song, and we would just encourage you, take some time and ask God, God, I don't know what he wants to say to you today. But whatever he wants to say, I know he wants to say something. And I know he wants to do it in accordance with his will and with his truth. Because he will never go against his character. He will never go against his truth.